All right, hello and welcome back to the State of Startups. I'm your host, Matt Gabry, and this is episode 29. And I'm going to talk about quite a few different things here. I'm going to talk about a little bit of what's going on in my progress studies course that I'm in on Sunday nights. A lot of cool stuff has been great speakers that we've had every Sunday. And I really want to highlight the last one we had this past Sunday. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about a company in kind of the climate change space that is actually very close to my home here in Indiana. It's about an hour and 20 minutes away, and they're doing some incredible stuff. And this plant in particular is the first of its kind in the country. So I'll get into that. And then quite a few book recommendations I'm actually going to throw out. A lot of it came from the Progress Studies community. And then I got a couple new videos from the Seeker YouTube channel that I wanted to talk about. A quantum computing video and a new satellite to image like the oceans for climate data, gathering climate data. So exciting stuff. We'll bounce around a few different topics, but yeah, I know it's been a while since my last episode. Again, I'm trying to make these more consistent. I'm hoping I got some more time here as we get kind of nearing the end of 2020 here. I think on my end, though, things are getting a little bit lighter as far as work goes. So I hope to get these episodes out quickly. All right, let's dive into probably the biggest thing, as far as maybe impacting my life, and I don't know if a lot of people have heard about it yet. But yeah, this company called Brightmark, and it actually, you know, it did come from the Seeker YouTube channel video. I think Tech Insider, that popular publication, first did a video about it, and then Seeker did. And I, you know, it's kind of a funny story behind it because, you know, I found it, I was working out at the gym and it came up in my YouTube, notifications. And honestly, just a little bit of personal news, since this company is here, you know, in my backyard, pretty much, I'm like really trying to work for them. And so it's been a little chaotic. So let's dig into it. I'm going to link this, the site in the description, but it's called Brightmark, and their mission, it says we're on a mission to reimagine waste. So there's a couple different things that they do. The plant, in Indiana here, Ashley, Indiana, it's located. So this is a recycle plant, and they take recycling that would be, normally it'd be going into a landfill and kind of, you know, that's, you know, not really a productive, useful thing for recycling anymore. But they take recycling and they turn it basically into a reusable fuel, a biodiesel, like a low-grade sulfur biodiesel fuel, and a wax substance that can be used, reused in other, products. And just to kind of talk about that a little bit more, so on every recyclable product, there is a number, I think, between 1 and 7. And if you look on anything that's recyclable, so look at the number. And apparently, so anything 1 and 2, anything that has a 1 or a 2 is easily recyclable. So like those aren't really the problem. But any number that is 3 through 7, those are very more difficult to recycle and reuse. So those kind of just get thrown in the landfill. They flood up the oceans. We used to ship all this stuff to China, and now they're, you know, banning it. They're not letting us do that anymore. So all this is kind of just getting thrown into the landfill and really wasteful, really polluting the environment. So this company, so it's only like a 4-year-old company. It was founded in 2016. The headquarters is in San Francisco, so that is a big reason to pay attention to this. You're going to have a lot of big backers backing, and actually I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, so they take, and just again, like I said, they take all recycling, anything. They take anything and they pump it through the system. So I actually toured, you know, I interviewed for them and I toured the facility. It looks really cool. It's not really in operation. It's kind of off and on. They're getting ready for in February. They're going to try to have it fully operational. And so, yeah, you know, it's really exciting stuff. This is the first plant of its kind, and they picked here in Indiana. It's really exciting for me. And yeah, gosh, anyone else that's listening in the Midwest that wants to be a part of it, because this is going to be huge. This is going to be a big company. When I toured for an interview, there's just nothing but praise. There's people calling them all the time wanting to bring their recycling to this plant. There's just calls coming in about they want to get a plant started in their city. Houston, Texas is really wanting to start one, and then in the Florida, Georgia area. So there's already works of those areas starting. So I just think this is going to grow to be big. And so there's two sides of this. So okay, there's that, and that's not the only thing they do. The other big thing they do is for farmers, there's this big kind of technology. It's called a digester. I know. And so what this does, essentially they take methane out of manure, out of like all the cattle and cow manure. They take the methane out of that, and they can turn the methane into a reusable fuel. So that's the other big thing that they do. So this project, I think, is even further along than the recycling. These digesters are in quite a few different farms across the Midwest and out east, I think. And yeah, this is a big one too that they're doing. So, because again, their whole mission is to reimagine waste, and just super fascinating stuff. And it's an old, you know, 4-year-old company. Again, San Francisco is the headquarters, so this is something to really pay attention to, guys. I think this is going to be huge. So the methane that they capture and reuse, and then they give the manure, back to the farmers. they take the manure and they extract the methane out and they give it right back. It's really cool. So, Chevron actually just partnered with them to buy that reusable, fuel from that methane. So Chevron, And then earlier before that, BP also partnered with them. So you got Chevron and BP, one of the two biggest oil companies, already partnering with them. So that's, yeah, we got to pay attention to this one. It's called Brightmark. I will link it. Cool. Yep. I think that's all I'm going to say on that one for now. Let's move on to the progress studies guest that we had on this past Sunday. His name is Matt Clancy. He is an economics professor at Iowa State. On Twitter, he is at Matt S. Clancy, Clancy. Yeah, really fascinating guy. This one is really probably the best. This is the best guest we've had so far, because like he's a little bit younger and a little bit more tuned into the progress studies movement. So we had a lot to say, productive things to say about what we're trying to do. He has a great newsletter, a Substack called New Things Under the Sun. I will link this in the description. And a couple of the articles that we talked about that are really good were the one is called Are Ideas Getting Harder to Find? Because of the burden of knowledge. Basically, and this is nice because you can listen to the article too. It's only 18 minutes and 29 seconds long. Basically, it talks about there's just so innovation is getting harder. It is getting harder to find and execute on breakthrough new ideas, and it's taking more people, more heads, more collaboration, more team effort to like get to breakthroughs than it once was. It's really interesting. So he does really good at finding the data and plugging resources or sources that he's found. He does a really good job at that, and it just makes you think. A couple of the other articles that were really good are kind of along the same thing. It's let's see, how useful is science? Importing knowledge, and that's kind of has to do with people coming in, you know, immigrating here from other countries and innovating here in America. Maybe there is no technological slowdown, which is, he talks about a book called Fully Grown. It's like the argument of like why a stagnant economy is actually a good thing. You know, cause so that's what we study here in the progress studies community. It's like the stagnation hypothesis. And there's actually a book that's like, well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we've reached a peak, a pinnacle of existence, and we were supposed to be here. And I think that, yeah, that could be true. I think maybe we're just at a little bit of lull. Maybe we can kind of enjoy the fruits of our labor. But I think now in 2020, after especially this COVID, like we got to rebuild now. It's time to definitely start innovating and building again, because we are far from done. So I do like that. The argument's pretty good, but I don't want to be done. You know, we can't be done innovating. And like the argument says, it's getting harder. Does that mean we need more brain power? We need more people, like, you know, if you want my opinion, I think we need more people quitting their day jobs and working on new things. Because I think the day jobs are holding people up and we're just not progressing. You know, we're just kind of collecting that paycheck, and not many people are working on necessary things. So, yeah, so check his newsletter out, his Substack. Again, that's New Things Under the Sun. I'll link it in the description. Yeah, I think he's going to be a good resource for us and for anyone else that's interested. Just he was a really open guy. I think he'd be open to anyone reaching out and just kind of hashing out ideas. So cool. Yeah, let's move on to... Oh, actually, so the book recommendations have a lot to do with him, actually. So let me just run through these really quick, and I'll link all these in the description. So a couple good books that have to go along with this, too, are one's called Jumpstarting America, How Breakthrough Science Can Revive Economic Growth and the American Dream. This is by Jonathan Gruber. Looks really good. All these are Amazon links, so really nice to kind of just read through it, and you can purchase it right away. The next one is called The Secret of Our Success, How Culture is Driving Human Evolution, Domesticating Our Species, and Making Us Smarter. That is by Joseph Heinrich. And again, I think this guy is a Harvard professor, I believe, because one of our students in the progress community is at Harvard, and I think he studies under Joseph Heinrich, so that was kind of interesting. A sci-fi recommendation that I really want to get into is called A Deepness in the Sky, Zones of Thought. It's called by Werner Vinge. I'm not going to read through it, but yeah, it just seemed really interesting. I think it's about like colonizing not only just the Milky Way, but other galaxies as well. So I don't know. Interesting. I love that kind of stuff. And the last kind of nonfiction again is called The Enigma of Reason by Hugo Mercier. Enigma of Reason. That one seemed interesting too. So cool. I'll link all those again in the description. Let's see. Okay, I want to talk about another thing that I'm really interested in that just it could be a job opportunity. I'm hoping that it could be. If not, I would really love to just help out with this. So Schmidt Futures is a I think it's like an investment firm started by Eric Schmidt of Google. And they have this new initiative called Rise. And it's a philanthropic initiative started by Eric and Wendy Schmidt. And they are putting up $1 billion to basically find and fund exceptional talent around the world. Let me read a little bit about this because I'm very interested in this. And I also think that being in this progress community, I'm trying to really share what this community is just like right along with this whole Rise initiative in the Schmidt Futures. So I'm trying to bridge this gap. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but like I think this is right up alongside what they're trying to do here. So I'm going to read a little bit about it. So exceptional talent drives the pace and scale of global progress. However, the identification and support of that talent is often ad hoc and fragmented across countries, educational institutions, and industries. As a result, some of the world's most talented people never realize their full potential for global impact. They go undiscovered, are inefficiently matched to development opportunities, or are limited in their opportunity to work in service of the public benefit as they enter the workforce. Rise is a new talent program designed to increase opportunity for exceptional young people who need it to do more for others together throughout their lives. So it's not only from Schmidt Futures, but it's also this Rhodes Trust Scholar Program. It's going to build a network of exceptional young people who are committed to helping others throughout their lives. The program will be designed to encourage a lifetime of service and learning by providing support that could include scholarships, career services, and funding opportunities to help these leaders serve others for decades to come. Rise cohort members who will apply between the ages of 15 and 17 will be eligible for various types of support. So, and it kind of goes on and on, and you guys can read more about it. I'm going to link this to in the description. So, yeah, just really interesting. It is kind of like an basically a new funding model. You know, it's not quite a Y Combinator. Obviously, it's not a Thiel Fellowship. It kind of has elements of those. Especially kind of the Thiel Fellowship. It sounds a lot like that. So, that's always fascinated me. Another reason why I just think this is good for young people because, you know, I think our educational institutions are, I don't want to say they're failing us, but like, you know, Harvard and Stanford and all these Ivy League elites, you know, they're so old fashioned, they're so old school, and they it's not always clear that even the truly brightest and smartest kids, you know, it's not always clear that that's going to be the best decision for them. I think here in the 21st century, in 2020, I think there's a lot of initiatives and other institutions that can kind of maybe better develop young people than colleges can. You know, they're so expensive. Colleges are so expensive. It's a 4-year commitment, and it's not clear that you're going to get out of there doing what you want or providing the most value and impact. So that's why these things come about. You know, Peter Thiel had this vision years ago with the Thiel Fellowship, and I think Eric Schmidt now does with this Rise initiative. And this Progress Studies community is kind of about that too. You know, Progress Studies for young scholars, you know, Jason meant for it to be for high school students, and it is. There's now this adult course, which I was fortunate enough to get into, but it's really for young people. And, you know, we're not here to say that we can do better than college, but it's definitely a different alternative that young, you know, 15 to 17 year olds might be interested in, you know, because it's not unheard of that, you know, these bright people are so ambitious and they know what they want to work on at 15 years old. You know, that's not unheard of. So we should find them while they're that young and encourage them to work on whatever they want. Because oftentimes, you know, universities kind of, I feel like sometimes they beat that out of you. They beat your dreams out of you a little bit, and they kind of tailor their own perception of what they want out of you. They kind of extract what they want out of you instead of the other way around. You know, Harvard and Stanford and Yale, like, I don't know, they should be doing all they can to let you flourish and let you study what you want. But I don't know, man. I think there's a lot of too much power and control and sometimes corruption in those institutions. And kids don't come out, you know, first of all, they're in debt, way in debt. And they, you know, they're kind of beholden to those universities and they're not allowed to flourish. So that's why I'm really interested in these alternative paths, you know. So Y Combinator, Pioneer from Daniel Gross is kind of along that lines too. Now those things, you have to have a startup in mind and your own business plan. But that's why Rise is kind of neat, because I don't think you have to, it's not just about starting a startup. You can, if I think you probably be allowed to, if you have one, but it's really kind of nurturing and the whole the whole young person as a whole, you know. So let's see. Kind of talked about that enough. I'll keep you guys updated on how that's going, because just think it'd be a great partnership. So let's see. I want to just, yeah, briefly touch on these Seeker YouTube videos. This one, I think, just came out today, yeah, October 30th. How graphene could help us build bigger and better quantum computers. So I think this basically, instead of silicon chips, they're going to switch. They might. This is just an experiment to graphene instead. Something about, let me see here. The most sensitive graphene bolometer. Bolometers are devices that measure the power of incident electromagnetic radiation through the heating of materials. So, let's see. Yeah, so basically graphene might be a better substance to use. He said at the end, though, that it's not for sure yet. It's just an experiment, and there's a lot of hurdles to jump through yet. But, yeah, just I'll link this in the description. You guys can watch it. It's only 4 minutes, 33 seconds. So it's just it's a different alternative. You know, yeah, quantum is still very early. I think there's a lot of kinks to work out. But it's nice to see just like, you know, weird ideas. Like that's what's so cool about innovation, to me, is just like, trying new things. You know, it's, we don't know. And it's great to experiment with things. And, I think I just want more people to do it. The other one I just watched is that this new satellite will bring the most accurate climate data we've ever had, it says. So a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket will soon be taking a historic satellite into orbit that could help us understand how climate change is affecting our seas. It's part of EU's Copernicus program, and it's the world's largest Earth monitoring system, which has worked to measure the environment and the role human-caused climate change is having on it. So the mission is made up of two identical satellites, Sentinel-6 Michael Frelick, which takes off in November 2020, and Sentinel-6B that launches in 2025. It's an international effort between NASA, the European Space Agency, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the European Organization for Exploitation of Meteorological Satellites, and France's National Center for Space Studies. So it's pretty cool. This is going to be help us really understand the sea level rise and monitor the ocean and give us that, you know, we got to trust the science. You know, this is going to help us really have that hard data that we need, you know, because we need to understand this and we need to believe in it. We need everyone to believe in climate change, human caused climate change. This is real. So this is great. This is going to be some stuff that people can really dig into and see for themselves. So, okay, guys, I think that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. And you know, next one will be episode 30. So we'll be 30 episodes in pretty soon here. So that's exciting. I'm going to hopefully get that next week. Until then, take care, guys. Again, DM and message anyone and any organization that I've linked here. Try to make moves of your own. That's, you know, a lot of what we can do right now during this COVID time. I know it's tough, but just keep reaching out to people. Keep just, you know, don't always ask for things. Don't ask for work. Just really keep it light. Be interested in people. Be interested in people's work. And just ask about it. Try to give nuggets of wisdom and share articles that you think would be relevant to some people. That's what it's about. I know I came across a recent tweet that said, do the work. If you're looking for a job, like do the work before you get the job is a good way of getting the job. So that's awesome. That it really, and that's what I try to do is like, if you're waiting to hear back from people, do your homework. And not only do your homework, don't just read up on relevant things, like try to give your feedback and make suggestions. 'Cause people are always looking for answers. They're always looking for help. So if you're coming in and asking for opportunities, asking for help, that's just probably not the way to go about it. You got to give them something first. You got to help them out before they can help you out. So I'll leave it at that, guys. All right. Take care until the next episode. I'll see you then. All right.